Like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Here at Trinity United Methodist, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, heart in our community. We also invite you to join us every Sunday morning for worship service at 10 a.m. We invite you to watch and subscribe to our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And now let us welcome special music by Proof.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Great to see everybody here. Let us come before the Lord and forget about ourselves and worship Him. Sound like a good plan today? Well, Mark and I have selected a song today called, for those of you who've come to this church for a couple years, you've heard it before. But there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with playing the good ones and the old ones time and again. This one's called Let Some Drops Fall on Me. And you got to be kind of careful with the timing of this song, because you don't want to pick a song like this after you've got 6 inches of rain on a weekend. So, you know, we try to be careful with the timing. But this song isn't just about receiving much-needed rain. It's about thinking about the rain like drops of mercy and grace, like the song we just sang, coming from God, who provides a lot of grace and mercy. It's a fun song, so we're also improvising today. We've had a few little glitches on our control dials up there, but we're going to rock and roll anyway.
You're not about to let technology get the better of you, are you, Jimmy?
Heck no.
I can't see. It sucks getting old.
It does. Hey.
Oh, I know.
It's a hot mic, huh?
Oh, he meant to let us know.
Lord, we hear showers of blessings coming down, streams of mercy never ending, coming down on this low ground. Let some drops fall on me, Lord, let some drops fall on me while you're standing, showers of blessings. Let some drops then fall on me in the time of drought and famine. Lord, to thee have we cried in this season. You send those showers. God's only satisfied. Let some drops fall on me, Lord. Let some drops fall on me while you're sending showers of blessings. Let some drops then fall on me. Let some drops fall on me, Lord. Let some drops fall on me. Yeah. While you're sending showers of blessing, let some drops fall on me. Lord, while you're sending showers of blessing, let some drops then fall on me. Let some drops fall on me.
Right on me.
Right on me.
I couldn't get that one.
Thank you. We're going to have our scripture that you can find in the Pew Bible on page 264 to 65, 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And Pastor Angel will bring us a message of trouble sleeping.
Have you ever been awakened in the middle of the night? And somebody, well, I've been awakened by little ones as well, is one thing, and insomnia is another thing. But have you been awakened in the middle of the night with a person's face before you, or just knowing that you should pray for someone? Nobody? Yeah. There are scientific studies that have been done that between the hours of 3 to 5, if you're awakened in the night, usually that is God speaking to you. This passage is all about God speaking to a young boy, Samuel. And it tells us symbolically that we should know what God's voice is. We talked about this in Sunday school today. With media chaos all over the place, especially AI intelligence, we don't always know what we should listen to. We don't know what's truth and what's false. Well, I'm going to tell you, beloved, this is truth, and I take it literally. If you are spending time in this, you will be able to discern truth from false. You will begin to hear God's voice speak to you. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was blessed. I had never opened a Bible in my life. I was in my very early 30s. And all of a sudden, scripture passages started to come to me. Ezekiel, I'd be like, "Is that a book in the Bible? What's happening here?" I thought I was losing my mind. And my very first pastor, now my spiritual father, his wife took me to a Joyce Meyer's convocation. And that was the topic of it. How God brings scripture to mind to talk to us. So then I realized I'm not crazy. I'm not losing my mind. And about 10 years later, when I started being called into ministry, I tried to believe I was losing my mind again, even though the scriptures were telling me this is what I was supposed to do. And then my baby girl, scriptures started coming to her. And I knew, my baby girl ain't crazy. So I'm not either. God will speak to us. My son's favorite passage in the Bible is found in Joel 2 and in Acts 2, and it says, "Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions." I believe that God still speaks to us through dreams, through visions, through scripture, through the hymns, which are all about teaching us theology, relationship between us and God. Trouble? Slipping through the night? You're not alone. Samuel had trouble too. Sometimes we hear a haunting phrase that sticks in our mind. I heard one once from a great preacher, Gardner Taylor, who was a great preacher and a great speaker during the civil rights movement. He was fourth in the pulpit in our country at that time. He spent 42 years preaching the word of God. He was immersed in the truth. But all I remember out of that sermon, and you know, it's okay if we don't remember the sermons. It's like meals. If you can't remember what you had for dinner last week, that's okay. It was meant to nourish you then. If you can't remember the sermon today, tomorrow, that's okay. Because it was meant to nourish you right now. It was meant to feed you, to convict you, to console you. Not to be a lifetime memory. Believe it or not, many people have trouble getting through the night. And this is what Gardner Taylor said. I am for anything that helps a person get through the night. And that's what stuck with me. Out of that entire amazing sermon the man preached, he said, I am for anything that helps people get through the night. Now, obviously, I'm sure there was a few things that he would not have agreed upon to get people through the night. But our Lord will get us through even the darkest times in our life, the darkest nights, the scariest dreams. Ron, we still have a paper sitting there remembering him. His oxygen would go down to 35% to 60% during the night. For those of you who don't know what that means he would gasp so much. His chest would flail, one side higher than the other. He couldn't breathe. It causes confusion. It causes anxiety. It causes terror. And he would say, Preacher, God got me through the night again. Pastor, I saw all the people in the church praying for me. God got me through the night again. I remembered what you said. It got me through the night again. I heard my sponsor's voice in my head. It got me through the night again. Have you ever seen that commercial? They're talking about one of the sleep aids, Unisom something, I don't know which one. But the husband walks in, he flicks the light on and off. And he says to his wife, Are you awake? Are you awake? She says, I am now. I can just imagine Eli doing that. Little Samuel, he's just a boy, dropped off there at 3 years old to fulfill his mama's promise. And this little boy had grown to the point where he was close to the age of accountability and God was calling him in to ministry. And he would run to Eli's side. Are you awake? Are you awake? Eli's like, I am now. And would tell little Samuel, Go back to sleep, child. You're hearing voices. After the third time, Eli began to realize maybe this child isn't hearing voices. Maybe God is speaking to him. I'll give Eli credit. He let his own sons run amok, do the most evil in that community. But he asked Samuel, tell me what God said to you. And one of the things God said to him was prophetic, and it was against his sons. And he said, don't hold back. And when Samuel was finished talking about his sons being evil and how they would be punished, Eli had the good sense to say, he is God. It shall be as he said it will be. See, for some people, the problem is dreams. We dream about this and that at night, sometimes waking up in a cold sweat, sometimes waking up in the start, sometimes remembering the dreams, and sometimes we don't remember them. Sometimes they're terrifying. Have you ever woke up and dreamed you were falling? Or dreamed something terrible was happening and it takes you a few minutes to realize, oh, it's not really happening, it's just a dream. It's like that cartoon. A minister is laying on the psychiatrist's couch and he says, I keep having this dream over and over and over again in the middle of the night. My church board is all up in arms screaming, have mercy! Have mercy! And I wake up and I can't remember what they are talking about or why they are saying that. We can be terrified by our own unconscious, our own subconscious desires and dreams. Or we can turn our mind, our heart, our will, and our dreams over to the care of God as we understand Him. And we can say, you have complete control over my life. Now maybe not every single dream, every single question is in this book. But what it does have, it tells you what the characteristics of our good and gracious God are. And in Wesleyan fashion, we are taught the quadrilateral, which teaches us, it's a three-legged stool. The solid seat on that stool is Scripture. God will never go against Scripture. And then we have reason. He gave us intellect, logic, and reason. And then we have tradition, and not just the tradition of Trinity, not just the Methodist tradition, but the traditions going clear back to the early church mothers and fathers, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. And the last one we have is our own experience. How has God spoke to you before? Has God ever spoke to you in a dream? God has spoke to me in a dream and in a vision many times. Has God spoke to you through bringing Scripture to mind? Has God spoke to you through wise counsel? Have you gone and sought wise counsel from another Christian and had God speak directly to you? God calls each and every one of us. Sometimes it's a lifetime call. Sometimes it's for a specific reason. But we all have to be willing and ready to say, here I am, send me. After all, the biblical writer said of Samuel's day, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Maybe Samuel was dreaming. We don't know. Maybe he was the only one who could have dreams and visions because other people had lost their way. They had lost their connection with God. Today, amongst AI, social media, it is very easy for us to lose our way. We can become disconnected from God easily. Proverbs tells us the heart is deceitful. It wants what it wants. It believes what it wants to believe. But if we are immersed in the Bible, if we are attending a Bible-believing church, if we have friends and fellowship with other Christians that we can ask to pray for us, we won't be caught up in that. Some dreams are like visions, a source of creativity, an answer to present problems and difficulties in a symbolic type code. It was like this for Isaac Merritt Singer, who invented the sewing machine. His financial backers came to him and said, "You got 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks to finish this project or we remove all our financial support." Well, Isaac went to bed that night and he had a terrifying dream about cannibals. And the boiling pot was ready and his hands were tied and they were going to put him in it. And they had spears pointed at him. And all of a sudden, at the tip of those spears, he saw a hole in the spear. And that solved his major issue with creating the sewing machine, an eye at the end of that needle. It's amazing how God can work through our unconscious. Sometimes dreams are a great source of creativity. That's what people in the Bible believed. Look at Joseph. He interpreted dreams. He had dreams. His brothers were jealous of him about those dreams. Look at Jacob wrestling with the angel at the Jabbok River. And Ezekiel watching the dead dry bones of Israel spring back to life. He looks out over that whole field of dry bones. And God asks him, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" Ezekiel's faith was so amazing. He said, "Only you know, Father. Only you know. I don't know." That faith caused those bones to come together, sinew to be put on those bones, muscle and flesh to be put on them, and an army to be created. Out of dreams came the doctrines of sin, justification, sanctification. Out of the dreams of the early church fathers came our doctrines, came our beliefs. Some of the very best theology comes out of sleepless and restless nights. Isaiah said, "Woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips." Y'all heard that story? That one makes me cringe and makes my stomach sick every time I hear it. Because he admitted when God called him, no, not me, not me. Woe is me. I'm a man that's unclean. And an angel took a live coal from the fire and pressed it against his lips, the most tender part of the body. It just makes me cringe. But he was willing to follow God's call after that. Are you willing to follow God's call? Should he call you? We got one of our own that's following God's call now, and I ask you all to pray for Mark in that. I respect the fact that he is following God's call. Maybe dreamers in our world would do really good to hear God speaking to them. But even if he doesn't speak to you through dreams and visions, he will speak to you through the Bible. He will speak to you through wise counsel. He will speak to you through the hymns. He will speak to you if you open your heart to hear him. Now, he doesn't answer on our time or in the way that we want. So sometimes you have to go to others and ask them to pray for you regarding the answer that he would give you. There was an old rabbi who said, you know, I'm actually surprised when people tell me they hear God's voice. I have never heard God's voice. I study and study and study the Torah, but I have not heard God's voice. God might tell Abram to take Isaac up to the mountain and sacrifice his son. God might tell others to go and change everything in their life. But nobody ever says anything to me. If I hear God, it's somewhere between the lines of a page that I have been studying for hours. And maybe what I hear is, Bart, turn the page. You're done with this one. You've got all that you can get out of it. Our God does have a sense of humor. Young Samuel waking up in the night. Here I am, Lord, send me. But he didn't really know who was calling him because he didn't know whose he was. Here's the important factor for each and every one of us. Do you know in the depth of your being whose you are? Do you know that you belong to Christ Jesus? That you are a beautiful child of God? I love that song, The Truth. The truth is that you are a child of the Father, that He smiles down upon you. The truth is that you are worthy, that you are one of His beautiful children. You know, some people, they say, okay, here I am, send me, but it's a last minute decision. It's because they are hurting, they are struggling, they are restless, they don't know what to do anymore. Been one of them? All right, God, fine. I think Becky remembers that out of me 12, 15 years ago. Fine. I'll go into the ministry. Fine. Some people will say, okay, I give up. Here I am. I'm in trouble. I'm hurting. I'm even hurting other people. Yes, I admit it. Here I am. Do whatever it is you're going to do with me. But you know, our God answers prayers like that. The shortest prayer, the most powerful prayer. Help me. Help me. Help me. Said with sincerity is always answered by our God. We live in the middle of a selfish, me-first society. We live amidst broken people who weren't seen and heard and shoot up schools. Broken people who believe they're going to get outrageous things, like X number of versions, so they take a plane and crash it into a building and kill all kinds of people. We live in a corrupt, selfish world. Listen to this selfish prayer of a child by Shel Silverstein. Sadly, this is how our children are being taught. And beloved, you have a responsibility, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, to teach them differently. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my toys to break, so none other kids can use them. Amen. Yep. Here's a mother who can't understand what's going wrong with her teenage child. Well, they're a teenager. This reminds us why some species eat their young. She feels guilty deep down and is never able to realize all that she has done for her precious children. She struggles with what she may or may not have done. But God's telling her, you love them, and that is enough. What I'm trying to say here is we all have to face up to ourselves, to the self revelation that often occurs to us in the middle of the night, as it did for Samuel. Until we do that, we will never really hear God's voice. We'll never really hear Him calling to us. We'll never hear God's redeeming and cleansing word of grace that says, you are enough. The truth is, you're my child. The truth is, you are loved. Maybe it's hard for you and I to say, here I am, send me. But there's little beautiful things. PJ went and visited Gerald. I was so grateful. She doesn't know this, but I had been trying to get over there for a couple of days and didn't make it there. But God told her, this is something you can do. She said, this is something I can do to serve my Lord. I can go and visit somebody. D helps watch over Kayla to give Beth a few minutes peace. All of you, I could tell a story like that of every single one of you. Marilyn, and all that you have done for your daughter-in-law, each and every one of you have done major things that have been God using you in someone else's life. Jesus said, here I am. When He was in the garden, when He was weeping, when He said, please, please take this cup from me if you will, Father. But then what was that key prayer that He offered up? Not my will, but your will. If we live by that theology, no matter how God speaks to us, we will always be able to act as Jesus did, if we live by that simple, tiny, little prayer. And then, we too will be able to withstand those few moments that we don't feel God there. God could not look upon His Son, Jesus Christ, when He was filled with the sin of past, present, and future. And Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, because of Jesus, God the Father will never forsake any of us. But how many of you have felt like He has at times? Felt like He's not there, He's not listening. When we pray that simple little prayers, help me. Thy will, not mine. He will give us all that we need to be able to hold on until the next time that we hear from Him. Here I am, Lord. I am yours for the rest of my life. If we can all say that, we are guaranteed to hear His voice.